Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
And welcome to the Beyond the Junkyard podcast, episode number 101. I am your host, Junkyard James, and with me, as always, my good friend, the man with the sweetest sauce in the game, Cody Marinara. How are you doing, my friend?
We are hanging and banging, sir, here over on the East Coast in the good old state of North Kakalaki. It is, it feels more like summer in the last day or so. In the next couple of days, it's going to feel like summer, but pollen is in the air. My allergies suck, but we're still here. We're alive. We're kicking. I've been unemployed for a week. I don't like it. I need a check, but it's fine. We'll get back to work soon. Whole long story with that. But anyways, I'm doing good, sir. Quick question. Well, two quick questions. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hey, we got a mention in the chat. We started on time this week. Thank you for pointing that out, Mr. Claude Felter. It's a miracle we started right at 9 on the dot. No tech problems, knock on wood, but here we go. I'm doing well. I have a work from home day tomorrow, so I can work from home, and then I'm on vacation next week, so it's a good week, and we got Dynasty on Sunday, so it's just going to be a really good weekend. I'm good, I'm pumped, and I'm excited for this weekend.
Good, yeah. Anytime there's an AEW pay-per-view on, it's a good weekend. You can have a good Saturday, good Friday leading up to the weekend, and then the sauce that covers it all on Sunday, giving us that main event appetite. With Dynasty on Sunday, it's going to be a great show. I would say a little bit of a lackluster build. I only had a month, but hey, you know what? It's all good. We still have some really good matches and some good storylines that we're leading into the show. And sometimes these AEW pay-per-views, I don't have the best build to them, shock us and surprise us and deliver a great result. So either way, AEW pay-per-views deliver, so we're looking forward to that. I did say I had two questions. You answered the first. I actually have two more questions, so I apologize for that. One just came to mind. Have you tried the new strawberry cobbler from the Bojangles?
I haven't. I need to check that out. I saw it on the menu. I got Bojangles the other day, but I didn't get it. I've heard good things about it. But at the other chicken restaurant at Popeyes, I don't know if you saw, they have a pickle menu now. It's pickle lemonade. Pickle lemonade and then fried pickles and a chicken sandwich with pickle sauce. So I got to try the Popeyes pickle menu, and I'll add that strawberry cobbler from Bojangles. Hey, and I know your wife loves pickles, so she might want to try that pickle lemonade too.
Yeah, I don't know if she's tuning into the show or not, but sweetheart, there's a pickle menu at the Popeyes. You may need to check that out. So I know where her paycheck's about to go, which is fine. You know, hopefully the pickles are good there at the Popeyes. Let me tell you something. That strawberry cobbler at the Bojangles, holy jamoli. That thing is loaded and covered with strawberry sauce, I guess, with the strawberries and the biscuit and the icing. Oh, I could have probably had 10 of those. But you know what?
Listen, Big Boom AJ, would he have given it 5 big booms on the boom meter?
Not only that, Dave Meltzer probably would have given it 8 stars. Let me tell you that much right now. It's probably the reason why the Washington Capitals took an absolute dog shit last night against the Hurricanes. They probably had a pregame meal at the Bojangles, and Ovi got a goal, so it doesn't matter to him. But I think the rest of the team maybe had that strawberry cobbler, and they probably just, you know, took a crap, and that's why they played so bad. But it's fine. It's okay. That's what North Carolina is known for. It's all good. So moving on from that, my next and most – I wouldn't say most important, but one of the more important questions is, JYJ, what is today, sir?
Well, today's date, forgive me if I'm wrong, I've been backwards since I was out of work on Monday, but I'm pretty sure it's April 3rd.
If I had a bell to ring ding ding, that would be the answer. That is correct. It is ding ding, which means it is time to segue into the On This Day portion of the show. Before we get to that, this portion of the show is sponsored by StubHub. If you guys are looking to score tickets to the hottest events in town, StubHub has got you covered. Whether it's a concert, which last week I surprised my wife for her birthday with tickets to a band that I'm not real sure that I really want to admit that I bought tickets for. But I'm there to support her. She supported me through all our wrestling events and concerts we've been to. So I'm going to let her see her favorite band, the Jonas Brothers.
Okay.
We need to bring some earplugs for that one, but hey, surprise it worth it. And I got them through StubHub and had great deals, by the way, on those. So if anybody's looking for those tickets, go to StubHub, check them out. Really good place to do that. So whether it's a concert, sports game, hopefully none of you are trying to get tickets to Braves games right now. Because, oh boy. Anyways, or that must-see Broadway show, StubHub is your one-stop shop for live event tickets with millions of listings. You can easily find the best seats at the best prices. I still got Bojangles on my mind and my wife, so breasts is in that one. Sorry. Best seats at the best prices. Plus, StubHub's 100% buyer guarantee. You can shop with confidence knowing your tickets are legit and ready for you to enjoy the experience. So why wait? Don't miss out on that action. Get the most sauce action by visiting StubHub today and get your tickets to the most unforgettable moments. StubHub, the world's largest ticket marketplace. Use the link in the description for all your sporting events and concert needs. So, on this day, April the 3rd, starting with 1993, Don Morocco won the Eastern Championship Wrestling, before it was known as Extreme Championship Wrestling. He won the ECW title from the Sandman in Radnor, Pennsylvania. Don Morocco and the ECW title. Not sure if those go hand in hand. 1995, Miss Alundra Blaze won the WWF Women's Championship on Monday Night Raw by defeating Bull Nakano in Poughkeepsie, New York. You ever been to Poughkeepsie?
I've never been there. I've heard good things about Poughkeepsie.
I don't know if they have a Bojangles. If they don't, I'm not going. On this day, February. I don't know what's wrong with me tonight. I took a Benadryl before the show, so that might be what's going on. Allergies are kicking in, so I'm trying to help counter that, and I think it's making me have a stroke. April the 3rd, the night after Mania 2000, Eddie Guerrero defeated Chris Jericho to win the WWF European title, and Crash Holly won back the WWF Hardcore title from his cousin, Hardcore Holly, both on Raw's War in Los Angeles. What's your favorite Crash Holly match?
Man, I can't remember one off the top of my
head. Correct answer is this one because he doesn't have any good ones. Next. At a SmackDown taping in 2001 on April the 3rd, Triple H defeated Chris Jericho to win the WWF Intercontinental title. Check that out. Wouldn't be the first time that Chris Jericho would be on this list. He does not like April the 3rd, I bet you. Also in 2001 on this day, April the 3rd, the Simpsons Wrestling video game was released on the PS1. You ever play that?
I might have. It's been a minute, so...
Didn't even know it was a thing until now, so that's pretty cool. moving on 5 years later, four years later in 2005, WrestleMania 21 took place in Los Angeles. John Cena won his first WWE title by defeating JBL. Batista won his first world title by beating Triple H in the main event. Aki Bono, the sumo wrestling legend, beat Big Show in a sumo match. We had Eddie Guerrero versus Rey Mysterio on that show. That was an awesome match. The first ever Money in the Bank match happened that night. Winner of the first Money in the Bank briefcase, JYJ, is Edge. Me. You suck. Great. Wonderful. moving on. a year later on Raw in 2006 in Chicago, the Spirit Squad won the World Tag Team titles from Kane and the Big Show.
Was it Nikki?
I didn't do my due diligence and actually saw who was in the match, but I want to say maybe Kenny and Nikki were in the match. This was before they got shipped off to OVW by DX. It was 3 years too soon. On this day in 2011, WrestleMania 27 took place in Atlanta. So it's one of the worst WrestleManias of all.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Time, the CM Punk Randy Orton match and the Undertaker Triple H match just could not save the show from how abysmal it was besides those two matches. The Rock returned as the host, and this is where Michael Cole beat Jerry Lawler. Oh, God. The Miz beat John Cena to retain the WWE title. Let's just move on. WrestleMania 32 took place on this day in Dallas, Texas. Another one of those wacky WrestleManias. This one was really plagued by injuries. But it was the biggest attended Mania ever with an announced crowd of 101,763. Got to get the turnstiles on that one. Anyways, Charlotte defeated Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks to win the inaugural women's title. They renamed it from the Divas title to the women's title earlier that night. Later they came out and did that on the pre-show, I believe. And this is where Roman Reigns beat Triple H to win the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Got a couple more to go, and we're good to go here. On this day, April 3rd, 2017, the Raw after WrestleMania 33, yours truly and JYJ over there, as well as a few other of our friends, attended this show. This was our fourth show attended that week. We were almost out of gas.
I was dead.
It was great crowd, amazing crowd, probably my favorite crowd of being involved with of all time. Beach Ball Mania happened. Kurt Angle became the new Raw General Manager after we had a funny segment between Vince McMahon and Teddy Long. Finn Balor made his return to TV. He made his unofficial return a couple weeks before that at a house show, but he returned on that night. What were you going
to
say?
Was that the debut of Shinsuke Nakamura to Raw?
Close. That was the next night on April the 4th on SmackDown when he interrupted Miz and Maurice's thing. That whole week was great, but went by too fast and was very, very tiring and crazy, and I spent a lot of money. And we got hit on by three retirees. moving on to the last one I have on the list. WrestleMania 38 Night 2 happened on this day, 2022, I believe. Night 2 was held in Dallas. Johnny Knoxville beat Sami Zayn in an Anything Goes match. Naomi and Sasha Banks won the WWE Women's Tag Team titles in a Fatal 4-Way. Pat McAfee made his WrestleMania in-ring debut. And in the biggest WrestleMania match ever, or biggest match ever, whatever it was Roman Reigns beating Brock Lesnar to win the WWE title, as well as Reigns retaining his Universal title. So he became that double champion, further extending his record-breaking title reign. That's on this day, for this day, April 3rd, 2025.
A lot happened on April 3rd. See, this is Mania season. This is Mania season for the next couple of weeks. We'll probably have a bunch of stuff related to WrestleMania. They can't pick a consistent weekend, I guess, here to put the show here recently. It's just kind of bouncing all over the place. This is the latest I think Mania is going to be in a while, the middle part of April. Usually it's the first part of April. So, but anyways, thank you for that, my friend. Make sure to check out the link in the description for StubHub. We'll move into the It's Your Birthday part of the segment. But first, let's take a minute to talk about WWE Shop. Unleash your inner superstar with WWE Shop, from the electrifying moments of WrestleMania, like we were just talking about, to the hard-hitting battles from Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown. WWE Shop has the gear to match your passion. Snag that authentic tee, hats, and championship belt and bring the WWE Universe right to your wardrobe. Visit the link in the description box today and suit up to cheer on your favorite wrestlers. WWE Shop, every fan deserves to feel like a champion. Before I read this list of birthdays from the past couple of days, do you know any April 3rd birthdays off the top of your head?
No. No, I don't.
All right, great. And because I look at this list, and the people that have April 3rd birthdays, they're kind of not up in the upper echelon of people. Let's back up a couple days, though. April 1st has a couple big birthdays. Logan Paul had a birthday on April 1st. The man, the myth, the legend, killer, Randy Orton had a birthday. And fun fact, I didn't know this until this morning, I think. Randy Orton has the same birthday as his wife. So they both share an April 1st birthday. Or at least that's what Twitter told me. April 2nd, Jack Evans, everybody's favorite part of this, whatever that team used to be called, had a birthday with him and Angelico. Jack Evans, Madman Fulton, a.k.a. Sawyer Fulton, had a birthday yesterday. Scorpio Sky celebrated his birthday yesterday. And then today, happy birthday to the guy that somehow still has an AEW job, Alex Marvez. Happy birthday, my friend. Lance Storm has a birthday today. And one of my favorite knockouts in TNA, Tasha Steelz, I think she's still with TNA, has a birthday today as well. Moving into the weekend, Kerry Morton celebrates his 24th birthday tomorrow. Charlotte Flair and DDP have a birthday on the 5th. And then moving into next week, Abaddon has a birthday. She's no longer with AEW, but we'll mention that. Sanjay Dutt has a birthday. Bianca Belair has a birthday. Look, we're not going to have a show next week because I'll be in Orlando, Florida. So I'll do 2 weeks in one. Bianca Belair has a birthday on April the 9th. Juice Robinson's birthday is on April the 10th. Dustin Rhodes has a birthday on April the 11th. And there's a bunch of other people. April apparently is a very busy month for birthdays. But those are the big names. Check out the description for WWE Shop. Link in the description box below. Thank you for both StubHub and WWE Shop for being affiliate partners with us. Hey, let's move into one of my favorite parts of the week. And that being the mid-card meltdown. Going to give it, before we get to the main event, before we talk about AEW Dynasty on Sunday, anything outside of Dynasty, you just have to get off your chest, my friend.
You know, I think kind of the something that that's got my attention a little bit is this constant WWE scheduling things at the same time frame or same day or same time as AEW shows. Just seems really petty of mine, whereas AEW is not trying to schedule things to compete with WWE or trying to do it earlier. Like All In is having the same night or as Saturday night's main event, but they're going to have a start time of 3 Eastern, so it'll be over by 7:30. So that way people can flip on over and watch Saturday night's main event. Obviously, All In Texas was scheduled way before Saturday night's main event, but of course WWE just had to get a hard on having things scheduled the same day as AEW, so that's very irritating. But I just don't understand why we have to keep doing this, why the Fed still, you know, needs to poke its big flag out and wave it, whereas we already know you're the number one game in town. We know that. If you're afraid of competition, then just say so. AEW is purposely not trying to do that. They're trying to just stay in their niche market and trying to schedule things, you know, obviously around WWE from not only a building standpoint, but also other live events that are happening on the same days, pay-per-views, things alike. So stay in your lane, WWE. AEW stays in their lane. And then one other thing I would say is kind of this back and forth battle between people on social media as it comes to Lex Luger's impending and upcoming Hall of Fame induction that's happening, I believe, the Saturday or Friday before WrestleMania. I have to double check the scheduling on that. And who should induct him into the Hall of Fame? I mean, the number one clear answer is his best friend that he's been friends with for 30, 40 years, and that's Sting. They've been business partners together, owning a couple of Gold's Gyms and other gyms in California or Texas or Atlanta area. They've also been best friends for longest of times, been up and down the roads together ever since the NWA Mid-South and WCW days, TNA a little bit. But that's the obvious choice. And some people are like, Tony Khan needs to let this one slide, disregard the beef with WWE, let Sting go over there and induct his best friend. Other people are like, listen, WWE's been a dick to AEW here lately. Tony Khan should do them no favors and just not do it. This is one of those moments where it's like, listen.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
There's really nobody else that has that kind of aura when it comes to Lex Luger besides maybe DDP and what he's been doing with Lex over the last couple of years with his DDPY program, trying to get Lex out of that wheelchair and stand up and walk again. So that would be really my second choice, but it's a very, very far second choice on the list. Sting should obviously be that person. If they can kind of just let bygones be bygones, and this is I wouldn't blame Tony Khan if he didn't do it. Let Sting induct Lex Luger. At the same time, it would be a really big boost for him and his brand to say, you know what, I want to let bygones be bygones for this night. This makes too much sense, and it needs to happen. So I hope Sting does induct Lex Luger, but we'll have to kind of – we'll see what happens. Yeah, that's really the only two things I got for tonight for the Midcard Meltdown.
I have a big topic. I want to give some praise to AEW – this week, a report came out stating the success of AEW's simulcast on Max. And so you asked the question, and I was going to talk a little bit about it because this week has been a busy week. It's pay-per-view week, and so obviously there's a lot of media coming out. And so Tony Khan, first thing this week, they removed the ROH Supercard of Honor pay-per-view from Mania Weekend, as it's always been. It's always been Mania Weekend. Relocated it to a different period of time, not to run head-to-head with any of the Mania programming. They rescheduled Collision that was going to go head-to-head against WrestleMania 41. They moved it to go live on Thursday. So not next week, but the week after. We have Wednesday night Dynamite live on Wednesday and Collision live on Thursday so that they're not going head-to-head with WrestleMania. And then you talk about All In Weekend. They created almost a WrestleMania weekend atmosphere with All In Weekend. And they moved the show All In from being an 8 p.m. start time to a 2 p.m. Central Time start time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time start time, to counterbalance the Saturday night main event programming. I think another piece of that also is they wanted to have it in prime time for the British crowd because All In usually has been in England. And so they want to hit that crowd as well and give them the opportunity to watch it at a reasonable time. But props to Tony Khan for realizing going head-to-head with WWE and some of their biggest moments, probably not the great thing. You asked the question, though, why is WWE counter-programming AEW? And I think we got this exclusive report from SE Scoops and BJ Bethel, I think, posted it that said that he's heard that Max is getting somewhere around 500,000 people on a weekly basis putting AEW Dynamite programming between the live TBS market and the simulcast within the first 24 hours on Max, between 1 to 1.2 million viewers. And they're approaching SmackDown numbers at this point. And so at the media call today, Tony Khan tells John Alba that though the AEW Max numbers are cut close to the vest, everything he's heard in the BJ Bethel report is consistent with what Tony Khan has heard. So that put away all those rumors that the E-Drone said, JD from NY had this big meltdown about how the numbers are totally fake and all these other people are saying they can't see Max getting more than 50,000 people. No, it sounds more like 500,000 are watching on Max. Dave Meltzer were to go on and say that those numbers reported would be only in the United States. So more than 1 million would be watching if you encountered the international crowd. So AEW, they're back. And this company that everybody seemingly thinks is on the verge of dying, they're just fighting on at this really big point in time. And so I just wanted to say, hey, this isn't a meltdown. This is a celebration. Tony Khan, what you're doing is working. And you know what? Tony Khan agrees. He also said in that media scrum that he intends to continue incorporating more hardcore elements into the programming because he is aware that the fans love it. And so Tony Khan, he has his formula now. He realized he can't listen to that casual audience that is not always there. He's going to do what the hardcore fans want, and that is incorporating some of that indie wrestling hardcore style that the fans enjoy. And AEW truly is for the sickos. We stirred the sauce enough, I guess. I guess we should head into our main event of the night. Our main event is brought to you by Dubby Energy. You looking for a boost to keep you sharp without jitters? Say hello to Dubby Energy. Packed with clean, transparent ingredients, no sugar, and no artificial junk, just pure, crash-free focus. Whether you game, your work, or you're grinding throughout your day, Dubby has got your back. Try it now and taste the difference. Use the code BeyondTheYard for your at W.GG for 10% off of your order. W.GG, Beyond the Yard at checkout, 10% off. They posted something the other day. I think they got the cans back. So get them now before they go out because they are the most popular thing. They sell out really fast of those cans. Go to W.GG, get the premix cans, 10% off your order. They got a bunch of combo packs and other things. If you're a big gamer, they work with some of the biggest like Twitch gamers in the industry and build stuff around that as well. So W.GG. Let's head into the main event. And hey, it's pay-per-view night, which means we're pulling up the PowerPoint for the main event. But first, we got to talk about the Owen Hart tournament. And let's talk about this men's tournament. And give me your initial reaction of the guys in this tournament, my friend.
Interesting setup we've got here. Obviously, got some of the big hitters with Hangman Page and Will Ospreay. I would even say Brody King is one for sure to cash in with his rise over the last few months as well. And then you've got the up-and-comer with Kyle Fletcher, Kevin Knight, who's just recently signed AEW talent from New Japan Pro Wrestling. And then you've got the savvy vet with Mark Briscoe. And then we got that wild card. Definitely some interesting names that could be popping out with that, especially going up against Hangman Page. It's got to figure that it's got to be somebody pretty doggone big to be having that kind of slot against Hangman Page. But some really big names here, heavy hitters. You can set up some really interesting matchups. Another Fletcher versus Ospreay match could be in the finals. Yeah, Hangman Page versus Brody King, Hangman Page and Ospreay, Takeshita. Versus, you know, Hangman Page or the wild card or Fletcher or Briscoe. Sets up a really good, interesting dynamic tournament here. Obviously, I believe this winner is going to be the same, has the same opportunity, just like the past winners where they will win and have a world title shot at All In. So I looking forward to this tournament. Got some really big names in there, some really interesting matchups that could happen here. And I'm very interested to see who that wild card will be.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Look, AEW is so good with their tournaments leading into pay-per-views when it's like, you know, you have about a month build to build a pay-per-view. They give you these tournaments. I love the first round matchup between Brody King and Konosuke Takeshita. I'm going to be honest with you, though. I think they had to do some juggling around real quick because Kevin Knight, at least according to the storyline, replaced Jay White, who is out with a legit injury. I think he broke his hand or fractured a bone in his hand. So hopefully he'll recover quickly and can come back to action pretty soon. And the Switchblade era can continue.
Is this the second straight year that he's had to be forced out of this tournament because of an injury?
Well, last year he was injured in the tournament. He got injured in the first round.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Yeah, basically the Owen is, he's just not built, I guess, to, it's just not in the card for him to go further than the first round. And we have the wild card here. Last year's wild card in the Owen was Hangman Page, so he gets to fight the wild card this year. Like you said, there's some really big names. I've heard people say that it's probably, they hope it's Darby Allin. I don't know if that's going to be the case, as Darby Allin has reportedly been scheduled to climb Mount Everest next week, or the week after. I think the 15th is when he said. So it could be the wild card, and maybe it's just a swerve, but it should be interesting to see there. I think now the big name I believe this wild card to be, and you do have Darby. It could be someone like Wardlow. You could have a big, another big return. I don't know, someone like Luchasaurus maybe could come back and put himself in the tournament for the patriarchy. But every time they put these wild card spots, it's usually someone big, like you said, someone that is going to kind of make you gasp. And there's a free agent out there that just trademarked the term Canadian Strong Style, and that person's name is Josh Alexander. I think he's our wild card. I think it's either him or Darby Allin. It has to be one of those two. And I guess it's kind of, you can kind of depend it on, like, if Moxley retains on Sunday, I think it's very probable that it's Darby Allin as the wild card. But if Swerve wins, like I think he will, obviously I'm going to give away my main event pick there, but we'll talk about that match later. I have a really good feeling that it's Josh Alexander in that wild card spot. Any wild guesses you have for the wild card?
That makes a lot of sense. I could see Wardlow finally making his comeback and his return here as well. You know, it'd be actually really interesting if they kind of played off of the feud that Heyman had or the interaction he had with Christian Cage before and have Christian take this spot as a wild card and face off against Heyman Page. So I think 2/3 of my pick who it could be are Canadians, whether it's Josh Alexander or Christian Cage. But I'm going to say that this one is going to be probably going to be wrong. I think Josh Alexander probably makes the most sense here, but I'm going to go with Wardlow to make his return here and take that spot and just be a big addition back to the main event or at least the main roster here for AEW and make his comeback on a big platform with the Owen Hart tournament and face off against Heyman in his return bout.
That would be fun to see. Something that just popped in my head, again, depending on Sunday's result of the main event, I could see Swerve Strickland being the wild card and they kind of close out this chapter of Hangman versus Swerve. They had that little interaction last night. You eventually have to have a fourth match, I think, in that feud. For it to be a first-round matchup, I think that would be a great thing if that's the case.
Fantastic interaction they had last night.
Oh, that was
people
great.
That don't say that AEW has any sort of storytelling this whole last 6 months and even past that should have killed that initially. But that whole segment, I did not see it coming, and I intently focused after, you know, their little skirmish, and Swerve wasn't, you know, going too wild on Heyman, whereas Heyman obviously is going still buck wild on Swerve and kind of detailing, you know, let it go. I can't let it go. You broke into my home. And then Swerve, well, you burned down my house. And Heyman yelling, you deserved it. And Swerve with the I know really quickly. And it just stopped everything. And I'm like, oh, wow. Beautiful. He took action for that. You don't see that often in wrestling storylines where somebody takes accountability for their actions. And in this case, Swerve did. And that whole thing just kind of dropped everything like a snap of your fingers of, oh, wow, this is that. I did not expect that. That was awesome. And Heyman just kind of storming out. He didn't know what to say. He didn't know how to respond to that.
Right.
But it's almost as if we're kind of seeing a little bit of a twist into that storyline of maybe eventually these two are going to come to terms with each other and help each other out. Something that, you know,
they're going to win the tag team championship together.
Maybe, I don't know, but it's almost, you know, keep your friends close, your enemies closer, whereas these guys may never be friends, but they have a mutual understanding and a mutual respect of one another after such a bloodthirsty feud they've had over the last year and a half. That's just a very, very interesting, very unique, right, but very entertaining way of turning that storyline around, and I'm definitely looking forward to see what happens next with whatever Swerve and Heyman do.
You know, one more name popped up. So obviously, like, Jack Perry could be a wild card in this, but I just looked at the shirt I'm wearing and I'm like, I can't forget this guy's name. Eddie Kingston. What if he makes his return as the wild card? I don't know if he's cleared to wrestle yet. He's obviously rehabbing that injury that he had. It's been about a year, I think, since that injury in Japan. But man, this tournament, AEW tournaments are so freaking stacked. So I'm excited to watch the men's tournament. But as much as I'm excited for the men's tournament,
before you do that, mm-hmm. one more last name, just to kind of finish off again of a past feud, a past interaction that Heyman has had. What if it's Jeff Jarrett? I know that's not a popular name, and I know that he's an older guy. You're going to be pushing him into this spot. I don't even know if he wins this or not, if he would even face, you know, and beat Heyman. But obviously his destiny of wanting to win the world title and be a world champion one more time would maybe make sense into that. And it's his best friend Owen Hart tournament. He entered it last year and came up short. Could be the same thing again. Trying to, you know, honor his friend Owen Hart and be in this tournament and go against a guy that he had some beef with earlier this year in Heyman.
I can see that. I can see that. I don't know if the fans would enjoy that, but
probably not. But hey,
it is what it is. But hey, let's talk about this women's tournament, because holy crap, as stacked as that men's tournament is, there's a lot of nuance and unpredictability in this women's tournament. No wild card in this bracket, but the eight women that we have, who's your favorite to walk out of Glendale with the opportunity to fight in Texas for the women's world title?
I think this is almost as stacked, if not more stacked, than the men's side. I mean, this top to bottom, I would say that if not all of these women, six of the eight have a legit chance of winning. Jamie Hayter to get that comeback trail. She was world champion at one point, kind of been stuck in this neutral spot ever since she's come back at All In London last year. It would be a great way for her to kind of catapult her back into the main event scene and go after that world title. Billy Starks, the new upcoming sensation. Most people know about her with the Indies and the ROH thing and being the ROH women's TV champion, the inaugural TV champion. Her rise to stardom has only increased, and her being on Dynamite a couple weeks ago and in the past has been great as well. Thunder Rosa, it's going to be in her home state of Texas, is All In. I know you've kind of been a big claimer of that she could possibly be in that main event scene in her home state. Chris Statlander, yet again, another big powerhouse name in the women's division. Has never been the women's world champion. It's only been the TBS champion, so that would be a great stepping stone for her is to become the women's champion. Julia Hart, another former TBS champion. Mercedes, current TBS champion. Both heavy hitters there as well. Harley Cameron probably has a snowball's chance in hell, but hey, is entertaining as hell, and the crowd could definitely be behind her. And then we've got that name down there, Athena, that I think is going to end up becoming the women's champion, or at least compete for a championship of some sort in Texas. I have a big thought. And I said it on Twitter, and I screenshotted it, and I want to say it. I'll kind of let you have your thoughts as well, but I have a big thought about that side of the bracket when we get to it in just a second.
Yeah, no, I saw this tournament, and I saw Thunder Rosa was in it, and I immediately said, I think she's winning. Again, but the idea being the winner gets a title shot in Texas at All In, and I get it. Thunder Rosa's maybe not the flashy name, and with the people in this tournament, but like you look at the way the storyline is going, Athena and Mercedes are.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Bound to fight at All In for either the TBS belt or the ROH belt, or we have All In weekend now, so we could have Mercedes fight Athena for the ROH belt. was it Friday night at Death Before Dishonor? And then
yeah, Mike Tyson moment there, Death Before Dishonor.
Yeah, Death Before Dishonor. And then the next night, Athena fights Mercedes for the TBS belt. I think they're bound to be in a storyline forever. I'm shocked that we have the possibility that their match is in this tournament is second round and not the finals. That would be awesome if it was the finals at Double or Nothing. But they obviously want to save that event for a bigger moment. Not to say Double or Nothing is not a big moment, but a bigger moment maybe at All In. I love Statlander, but I don't know if she has the rocket to her. I guess it kind of has to depend on your thoughts again on Sunday. If who's going into All In as champion? Is it Toni Storm or is it Megan Bain? And so I love this tournament. It's a stacked tournament. I think all eight of these women has a legitimate reason and a possibility to win this tournament. My favorite to win it, though, is Thunder Rosa. I'll give you a quick minute to say your thoughts on the Athena Mercedes Moné side of the bracket.
Yeah, I think if you really wanted to switch out somebody, and I really enjoy with Harley Cameron what she has done over the last 6-7 months to really enhance her character, and has been a really shining bright light in the women's division of a comer that people have gotten behind her, and she's entertaining as hell. The only way that this women's division could be more stacked is if maybe you took out Harley Cameron, maybe even Billy Starks, just because she's still so young. Replace one of those with Willow Nightingale, and, I mean, this thing would be just loaded, star-studded. But that's okay. Not everybody can be in a tournament type of thing, especially if they're in current feuds or even up-and-coming feuds, so I'm okay with that. Somebody posted this on X and said that Athena versus Mercedes Moné seems to be happening at Spring Breakthrough in Boston in a couple weeks. Let them have a main event, 20-plus-minute match, and have the best women's TVs match ever. And that's a great idea. My comment was that I hate that so much. I love AEW, but you know, Tony Khan does things sometimes a little too quickly. We need to let that feud build to All In. Right. Let Moné win her first round match, or even Athena. But in this instance, I said let Moné win her first round match, especially since because she's on the pay-per-view on Sunday. Maybe Athena costs Moné a chance in the finals, or Moné causes Athena to lose her first round match with Harley Cameron or something like that. And that way we can get Athena to maybe have revenge and cost Moné a chance, maybe in the finals or the semifinals, and lead it to something to where we get this feud building up to All In. We've had so many matches on free television. Kenny Omega, Bryan Danielson, Jon Moxley, Bryan Danielson. We've had, I think, Swerve and Hangman on Dynamite before. Mm-hmm. I understand that we have to have some of these bigger matches to draw an audience, to draw and captivate eyes, and I understand that. But that is one feud that we just need to build. Let this thing build, just like with the Toni Storm and Mariah May story. They didn't face off against each other until All In London. Let's wait until All In Texas. Let's one of these two turn it, you know, cause one another to lose. Build up that feud, build up that hatred, and then let them have their first true match at All In Texas. And I hope that's the case. What a story that would be. Have Mercedes beat Julia Hart. Somehow have Mercedes, you know, since you're tagging this weekend, have Mercedes back Harley Cameron in some capacity, causing Athena to lose. Big upset. Harley goes on, faces Mercedes. Athena then says, ha ha, you're going to lose to this, you know, quote unquote character, and cause Mercedes to lose. And then have Harley Cameron in the finals. Wouldn't that be some sort of, you know, bracket busting 16 seed upset? Yeah, that would be a great way to do that. Enhance her character a little bit more. Get that crowd behind her even more as well, while at the same time building that blood feud, that blood hatred feud between Athena and Mercedes. I really hope that happens. We'll kind of see what happens there. Maybe we can have our bracket finals there. I think Thunder Rosa, like you said, is probably going to be in that main event spot. I would love to see Jamie Hayter in it. Statlander deserves it too. That left side of the bracket is so stacked that anybody in that left side could definitely walk away with being the winner of this tournament. But it does look like a Thunder Rosa is going to be the gal to hoist that championship and move on to All In Texas in July. But we shall see.
We shall see. Now it's time that for the biggest moment, the reason y'all are here, let's talk about Dynasty this week. We're recapping. Hey, look, I need to catch up because I didn't do great at Revolution. So it's time to catch up. We got 9 matches, 8 confirmed, 1 that's basically confirmed. We're assuming it's going to be confirmed before Sunday. And as always, we got to preface this by saying Tony Khan likes to add matches sometimes in the middle of the night. So the matches that we have here, the matches will count. If anything happens, there is a possibility that Saturday, if a bunch of matches or some other breaking news comes in, we may do a quick episode on Saturday, kind of catch up with that. That's still not confirmed. We'll let you know more info. Check out the social media pages for that. But if any other matches happen at Saturday, we'll talk about them. But the matches we have now are the 9. The 8 confirmed, the 9th, that we're pretty certain it's going to be confirmed. So these are the matches that'll count for so far for the tournament. Let's start with the Owen Hart matches that'll be on the show. Will Ospreay versus Kevin Knight opens up the men's side of the bracket. And what a spectacle this is going to be Sunday night. Kevin Knight is just a human specimen. Ospreay is doing wonderful things in AEW, and I have to feel this might be Ospreay's time to move deep into a tournament, maybe even win it. I have to pick Will Ospreay to beat Kevin Knight. I love Kevin Knight, but it seems too soon to have Ospreay with how much he's pumped his energy for this tournament. To have him lose in round one seems kind of off to me, but we'll go Will Ospreay to beat Kevin Knight.
Yeah, I think that this is going to lead to Ospreay getting his world title opportunity at All In Texas in July, and this is kind of your number one overall seed, your Florida or your number one overall seed, whoever that might be. This is the guy here, and I think that Kevin Knight and Ospreay are going to have just a barnstormer of a match. Kevin Knight's going to really prove why he is going to be a really good signing in AEW. I kind of see him and Nick Wayne kind of in the same spotlight, to where both athletic as hell, needs a little bit of honing and craft to their characters and their development and their overall in-ring presence. But they could definitely go 20, 30, 40, 50 minutes in the ring. But it's going to be a great spotlight on Kevin Knight to show how well he is and how great of a talent he is. But Ospreay is going to take this and move on to the next round in the Owen Hart tournament.
Beautiful. We'll go to the women's side of the Owen Hart bracket. Julia Hart fights Mercedes Moné. And you mentioned how you feel like this is an opportunity for Athena to cost Mercedes the match, or Mercedes maybe to cost Athena her first round match. I'm going to go with the idea Athena's going to cost Mercedes this match. I like Julia Hart to win this match. And I put this on social media the other night. last night. Julia Hart and Mercedes Moné is a sneak match to watch. This could be one of the best matches of the night. Mercedes Moné is on, I think, her best run in her wrestling career right now. Just putting on really great matches. But I'm going with the upset here. Give me Julia Hart to beat Mercedes Moné, albeit probably with some interference.
I think that the opposite happens in this point of view. I think Mercedes does get the win over Julia on this night. Moves on to the second round of the tournament. I think that Athena does not yet show up. I could definitely see it happen, especially if Mercedes and Harley win on Saturday against Julia and Athena. That the next night Athena costs Mercedes, I could definitely see that. But I'm gonna go a little bit different with Athena. I'm gonna go with Mercedes to defeat Julia Hart here.
All right, well, we move in, and I told you there's a match that hasn't been confirmed, but it's most likely going to be confirmed. The Mask versus ROH title match. Chris Jericho versus Bandido. Tony Khan said on the press conference today, the media call, there's still time for Bandido to accept this challenge by Chris Jericho, leading us to assume it's going to happen. If it does happen, I think Chris Jericho retains and let me go back. I think Bandido wins because there's no way you're going to pull the mask off the man. I think this could be the end of Jericho's reign as ROH champion at a good time because it seems like they're kind of coming to the end of the Jericho tree, learning tree gimmick here. It seems at some point in time, Brian Keith and Big Bill are going to turn on Chris Jericho, and it would just be great to see Bandido win the ROH belt. So I'll go Bandido.
Yeah, I don't really see what the point of having him lose his mask here is. I think we both have the same thought that maybe, you know, Jericho holding the ROH title would get them on that TV deal. I don't know if it'll happen. I don't know if it's going to happen. I feel like they would have announced it by now if it was going to happen. But even if it does or doesn't, I do see as well Bandido walking out as the ROH champion. It's a good way to transition it to a new champion, see how Bandido does with the ROH title. Jericho, you know, obviously doing his thing, trying to get notoriety on the show and the brand and to make it stronger and to make it more, you know, known and people to watch it or see it and care about it. But I think it's a good time to transition off of the ROH title and let Bandido hold it. So I'm going to go with Bandido as well.
Beautiful. We move into the TNT Championship match with no time limit, no outside interference. Adam Cole versus Daniel Garcia for the TNT Championship. This is what match number three between these two gentlemen. And Adam Cole, for a little bit of on this day, April 6th, 17 years ago, Adam Cole started his wrestling career. April 6th, 2025. 17 years later, Adam Cole has a chance to win the TNT Championship in Philadelphia. I think Adam Cole does it. Give me Adam Cole to beat Daniel Garcia and get singles gold, I think for the first time, in AEW.
I love Daniel Garcia. I don't think he's done horrible as TNT champion, but I don't think he's had a prominent title reign that I was hoping and expecting him to have. Obviously, I'm not going to be upset with him kind of defending that title on Collision since it's a TNT show. I'm not against that. I just wish he would have done a, you know, promo or vignette or something on Dynamite to help set up either a match on Collision or like this for the pay-per-view. Definitely should have had something on TBS and Dynamite just to showcase the match a little bit more. I'm sure they're going to have something like that more so on Saturday on Collision before Dynasty. But I am not against Adam Cole winning the belt, especially coming back home in some sorts with ROH kind of being that Philadelphia-based promotion as well, that Northeast territory where Adam Cole kind of definitely got his start, his notoriety, his prominence, his name recognition, if you will. And I think this is going to be one of the, if not the match of the night. I think this is going to be a fantastic battle between these two. Daniel Garcia is the future. And I think that this night just is going to belong to Adam Cole, and he's going to be your new TNT champion as well. But yeah, I think this is going to be a great match.
Absolutely, my friend. We move on to the tag team championship match between the Hurt Syndicate, Bobby Lashley, and Shelton Benjamin against Big Bill and Brian Keith. And what a shocker it would be if Big Bill and Brian Keith won this. I would love to see it. I'm a big fan of Brian Keith, big fan of Big Bill, but the Hurt Syndicate are just too strong to, and it's, I think, too early in their run to really push to have them drop the belt. So I'm going to go with the Hurt Syndicate, but wouldn't it be something if there was some an attempt at interference by MJF to cost the Hurt Syndicate, since it seems like Bobby Lashley and MJF might feud at some point, or maybe the Young Bucks come back, one of the two. I'm thinking the Hurt Syndicate get the dub, though, on Sunday.
Yeah, I think that, like you said before, where this Jericho learning tree situation is probably nearing its end and nearing the split, I think this is going to be one of the biggest ways to get that to happen. final, you know, basically a final test for Jericho. He loses the ROH title. Big Bill and Brian Keith lose, kind of effectively splitting them all up and saying that they need to go separate ways or something like that happens. And regardless, Hurt Syndicate are going to retain the titles and beat Big Bill and Brian Keith here.
We keep it hot and heavy. Let's go with the Trios Championship match. I can't remember the last time the Trios titles have been defended on an AEW pay-per-view, but we get the Death Riders, Claudio Castagnoli, Pac, and Wheeler Yuta fighting Rated FTR, Adam Copeland, Cash Wheeler, and Dax Harwood. I think the Death Riders retain, and I think this leads to either Copeland turning on FTR or FTR turning on Copeland. Cash told Dax after Sunday they need to talk. Let me tell you what I think this is setting up for. I think at All in Texas, prepare for FTR versus Edge and Christian, or Cope and Christian, whatever they're going to call it. And so we get that dream match either at Double or Nothing or at All In. But yeah, give me the Death Riders to retain.
I'm stuck on this one. I'm stuck because I could definitely see that direction that you're taking with the Cope and Christian versus FTR. I could totally see that. However, remember how I said a couple weeks ago where maybe you need somebody to kind of go towards Death Riders and then kind of kill them in, you know, from within? Not exactly the way that I had planned it, not the way I envisioned it, but I think this could actually be the way to kind of it to happen. Death Riders are on extreme high because of how the turmoil is between Cash and Dax and Dax and Cope. All of those three guys seem like they're against each other, or at least Dax is against Cash and Cope and all that good stuff. What if that is a psychological mindset to make the Death Riders seem like that they're an easy target to Dax, that they're going to walk all over FTR, they just need to keep them to battling themselves within? What if it's all a game, and basically they beat the Death Riders at their own game with a psychological warfare and cause the Death Riders to lose, and Rated FTR takes the belt off the Death Riders and makes a big stamp towards regaining the control of AEW from the Death Riders back to the AEW brand, with obviously Moxley having the other big belt, the world title. This would be a great way to kind of get that storyline to maybe near a climax of, oh, one of the Death Riders no longer has the gold, or three of them don't have the gold, losing kind of control on the company. And it'd be a great way to play dumb and beat them at their own game if Rated FTR just comes back and says, ah, we fooled you guys. We beat you at your own game. I don't know really where it kind of goes from there. So that kind of has me stumped a little bit, maybe a rematch at Double or Nothing or something like that. But I'm going to go different from you. I'm going to say Rated FTR gets the win here. I think that they're just playing the devil's advocate, playing dumb, playing a trap on the Death Riders and cause the Death Riders to lose at their own game. And I have Rated FTR becoming the new Trios champions on Sunday.
Yeah, I could totally see him winning it. I got to imagine the next challenger for the Trios championships have to be the Ops, Hook, Samoa Joe, and Kastiori Shibata. They're on TV too much not to be in the Trios championship picture. And look, they said on Wednesday last night, and they better not catch anybody lacking. They're going to be there backstage. So maybe they make their presence known in some way, shape, or form. But I could see it happening. This is going to be a good match regardless. We'll see how it turns out on Sunday. Let's continue on here.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Oh, this might be match of the night. The AEW International Championship three-way match between Ricochet, Kenny Omega, and Speedball Bailey. Oh, man, it's been a couple weeks since this match has been made official. I love all three of these wrestlers. Speedball's new. It feels like you don't want to ruin his momentum. Ricochet, I think, is one of the better heels. He doesn't really have momentum in terms of anything. And then Kenny Omega's just his dominant champion. Because I think several other possibilities for title changes exist on this card, I'm going to play it safe on this one and say, because I really don't know which direction it goes. I could see all three winning, but I'm going to pick, for the purpose of the competition, give me Kenny Omega to retain here on Sunday.
Yeah, I got Kenny winning as well. I don't see any reason why that Ricochet or Speedball would win the title at the moment. I think we're building to a very, very, very big match for Kenny at All In. Having another challenger or two between, or maybe three or four, having a couple challenges and defenses on TV, then having maybe a defense at Double or Nothing and it for there's no pay-per-view in June, right? It goes straight from Double or Nothing to All In. So I think that Kenny has another couple of challengers facing off before we get to that ultimate match at All In Texas, where I think we both know where it's going to go. But for the purposes of this, we're going to shelter that maybe for the next go-round of conversation. Going to be a great match, very, very good match, and I'm going to go with Omega as well.
And we move into the Women's World Championship picture, Timeless Toni Storm. She puts her AEW Women's Championship on the line against the Megasis, Megan Bain. And this is a dream match for me. I love Megan Bain. I've been waiting for it. It seems like since I started this podcast, even before you joined, that I was talking about Megan Bain in AEW. And it's finally time. I feel, though, this is a situation where Toni Storm, if she loses, it's kind of like, I don't know why they did that. But if you have Megan Bain lose, it kind of ruins her push, her big, you know, the rocket strapped to her back. I have a feeling Toni Storm retains, but it's probably through some form of disqualification or interference of some point. All I know is Mina Shirakawa is done at Stardom. You assume maybe she plays her way into the world championship story somehow with Mariah May. Mariah May's not in the tournament, so you assume maybe if she were to return to AEW, it would be maybe to get her her revenge on Toni Storm in some way. I've even heard it go so far as to say Megan Bain was sent by Mariah May to take out Toni Storm. I don't know if that's going to be storyline canon or not. I like Megan Bain. I think it's going to be a dirty finish, but Toni Storm will retain.
Yeah, this is a interesting match to predict because it could go either way. It really could, but it's just a matter of what's going to be the best storyline coming out of this and then going into Double or Nothing and then all the way through All In Texas. Yeah, Megan Bain wins. She could easily fight anybody that's a face on the women's side of it at Double or Nothing and then maybe have once or twice on TV. And then we get the winner of the Owen and they face each other at All In. Could be Thunder Rosa, who's a face, Megan Bain a heel. That would make sense. I wouldn't want Thunder Rosa to be the person to the throne. Megan Bain, though. Toni Storm wouldn't be a bad person for Megan to lose to, but then it's like, all right, where does she now go from here? She can get that vindictive, mean streak to her and try to beat the shit out of anybody and everybody and maybe take the spot of somebody at the Owen. That'd be something really different. Could be to where maybe Athena and Mercedes both win their match and then they either fight off against each other and it results into a count out or no disqualification. So that's the semifinal. So who's on to the finals? Could be Megan Bain. Could be, I don't know. It could be, we could set ourselves up for a few different scenarios here, but I think it's just a matter of what's going to be the best outcome that could lead us into the next pay-per-view and in the next 8 to 12 weeks of TV. I don't know. I really don't. If you look at the women's bracket, you've got Billy Starks, who is kind of a tweener. Jamie's a face. Statlander's a face. Thunder's a face. Mercedes is a heel. Julia's a tweener. Harley's a face. I guess Athena is technically a face. I don't know. So
she's kind of a tweener, though.
Yeah.
She's a, like, the fans love her. She's kind of manipulative on Billy Starks on ROH. I don't know how much ROH right. you watch, but... So she's kind of that tweener.
So it's just a matter of, it seems like there's more faces and heels and tweeners in the women's division. So it seems like it'd be more of a heel versus face type of matchup. Which if that's the case, you might want to go with Megan Bain. But it's like, okay, well, where does this go for Toni Storm? What happens to her next? Unless Mariah May comes back, messes her up, and they have a match just with no stakes. As far as the women's title goes, and they face off against each other at maybe Double or Nothing or something like that. So, yeah, this is probably the toughest match for me to predict just because I really don't know who's going to walk out of this and where it goes from here. Would not surprise me, based off of your analogy to or your analyst, that it's a dirty finish. That way Megan doesn't have to eat a pin. She could take a submission to kind of make it to where she's still kind of protected in a way. Just based on the tournament.
Yeah, if we're going off the tournament, it almost feels like if Thunder Rosa is our favorite to win, and I'll say this as you give you a minute to think about it. If we're going off the if Thunder Rosa is the favorite to win, look, she never lost her belt, and then Toni Storm took the belt off of her. She was that interim championship for a while. So it feels like just the natural turn of events would be Thunder Rosa would fight Toni Storm. And so to have that happen, Toni Storm would have to be champion walking into to All In.
Yeah. Man, this is tough. I, for the purposes of this, I'm going to go with Megan Bain. I just feel that there's more of a storyline to develop between a face and a heel for that. But the Toni versus Thunder thing, that makes a lot of sense too. But I think maybe we get a big match with Toni at some point, whether it's Double or Nothing or All In Texas. And I kind of hate the fact that we're still kind of playing this fiddle faddle with the women's belt in 2025. But Megan Bain kind of came in at a great time. But they pushed her almost at the right time, but the wrong time, in my opinion, because Toni just got the belt back about a month and a half ago. What happens now? You know, where we kind of push Megan so far to where she has to be in this match. She's a great opponent for Toni, legitimate threat. If she loses, you don't want to kill her steam, but it does make sense for Toni to win too. It's just kind of a, I don't want to say it's a bad spot, but it's an interesting spot from a creative standpoint of what should happen here. I'm going with Megan Bain on this one.
Absolutely. And because your expertise of these events, you're going to get this one right and I will get it wrong. And that's just how the pegs play, I guess, sometimes with these guessing games. But we head to the main event, and that's Jon Moxley. Again, defending his AEW World Championship, this time against Swerve Strickland. And let's go back a year. April, I can't remember the actual date. I think it was April 5th, 2024. St. Louis, Missouri, Samoa Joe versus Swerve Strickland at Dynasty. And Swerve Strickland came out on top as AEW World Champion. And this time, Swerve, 1 year later, has an opportunity to go 2-0 in the main event of Dynasty and get the AEW World Championship back for the second time. And I think he does it. Give me Swerve Strickland. The way the show ended. Now, obviously, at Dynamite last night, Swerve and who was his Willow beat Marina Shafir and Moxley. And I felt like, all right, if that's all that was going on, well, Moxley's probably going to win. And then they had what happened to end the show last night. And Swerve got absolutely brutalized. Glass shards in his back and just that image. You bring it back a year, and I'm pretty sure the final camera shot as Dynamite was going off of air last night was the same shot that they had of Samoa Joe beating the ever-living shit out of Swerve Strickland a year prior. And Swerve laughing like a maniac. It leads me to think all roads lead to Swerve winning at Dynasty in Philadelphia. And so we get a new AEW World Champion on Sunday night.
I like the way your thought process is, and it makes a ton of sense. But I'm going to have to stick with my guns on the fact that if I feel Rated FTR is going to play the mind game and beat the Death Riders, to me, I don't think they both lose their title on the same night. Last month at Revolution, I was so flippy-floppy with the main event. There was 15 different ways you could go without it. I just kind of threw my hands up in the air and said, you know what? Moxie's just going to retain. And somehow I got that right. I'm a lot more confident in this one. I'm going to say Moxley's going to retain as well because I feel like our savior for the AEW brand has not yet happened in this storyline. Swerve is definitely an AEW guy, carries AEW on his back as a great champion. Dynasty is his event, won the world title for the first time last year against Joe in the main event of Dynasty, in the main event again of Dynasty this year. However, it's a different animal with Moxley. I don't know if we see a new member in the Death Riders. I don't know if somebody just betrays Swerve. I don't know if something happens. But for some reason, I see this match going to where Swerve just happens to lose it and slips through his fingertips and Moxley retains. I don't think we yet see that savior of AEW. I have my thoughts on that. I'll shelve that for a little bit, maybe until we have a deep dive into the Owen or something like that. But I feel like our savior is going to come at All In Texas. Biggest show of the year. That's where we're going to finally get the belt off the Death Riders and get rid of the Death Riders era, at least for now in AEW. Still a few months away from that. So kind of hold on to it. Let this thing build a little bit more. But I think somehow, some way, Moxley retains and leaves Philadelphia, leaves Dynasty still as the AEW World Champion.
So, guys, let us know what you think about Dynasty. Who wins the main event? Who leaves Philadelphia Sunday night as AEW World Champion? Leave them in the comments, or you can follow us on social media at JunkyardMG. And look, we're gonna ask that question: who leaves as champion? Let us know on social media. Let us know in the comment section here. It's going to be a good night, Sunday night. And if you were like me and thought ahead and when Revolution was there and you bought the two-pack on Triller, you got Revolution and you got Dynasty all at once. I'm ready for Sunday. I don't gotta buy anything right now. Dynasty is going to be a good one. There's several ways to watch it. You can watch it on Triller, you can watch it on Prime Video. You can still do it the traditional way. If you're a fan of the Attitude Era and you want to call DirecTV and say, hey, I want to buy this pay-per-view through my cable subscription, they'll take your payment You can do it, I think, on YouTube. Go to Dave and Buster's if you want
to. Don't go to Dave and Buster's.
If you want to risk that, you can go to Dave and Buster's. You're just not going to be able to watch the pay-per-view. They'll have it on a 5 inches of the screen.
Small screen.
International crowd, I think there's a few other ways. PPV.com as Fight, well.
I believe.
Yeah, so there's a lot of ways that you can watch this. Don't be one of those marks that's like, oh, can y'all send me the stream? Can I watch it illegally? Don't do that. This is going to be worth every dollar that you spend for the show. And I hope you all tune in to that on Sunday. Now, Saturday, we said we might have a show. And we'll have to figure out the time. But I actually would like to kind of do a bracketology of the Owen, get a little deeper dive on both brackets. If that's something you're good with, we might do that on Saturday. We'll let y'all know for sure. Confirm that there. We can maybe do our prediction on the Owen Hart tournament before it gets going fully. That's not confirmed, but we'll confirm it and we'll let y'all know. Follow us on the Discord. We'll let you know for sure on the Discord. You can go and get all of the social media links by going, good timing, right here, junkyardmediagroup.com. It's going across your screen right now. We appreciate y'all for watching. Appreciate all of the affiliate partners for working with us. It's a pay-per-view week for AEW, so it's going to be a good weekend. And we're going to, as always, turn it to our man, Cody Marinara, to say the final word.
Now, that's your question. Is the Final Four this weekend?
I believe it is. I think the Final Four is, was it Saturday night? And then the college finals is Monday night, if I remember correctly?
I believe so. And if that's the case, then, boy, do you have an action-packed weekend this weekend. You've got some MLB action going on, unless you're a Braves fan. You're not going to watch baseball for the rest of the year. It's fine. Yeah. Or at least until Spencer Strider, Ronald Acuna, and Sean Murphy come back. And even then, we still might be 0-45. We'll see. MLB action going on. Golf is in full swing now. Springtime is warming up. So if you're in the mood for watching golf, taking a nap throughout the day, you can definitely do that. Watching the Final Four. Great time of year for the Final Four to kind of end the college basketball season. College baseball is in full swing as well. But right there at the tail end of the weekend, as we're kind of unfortunately wrapping up the weekend and having to unfortunately look forward to Monday, let's have a great Sunday night. And what that means is you make up your best batch of homemade sauce. And I'm talking any sort of sauce, bolognese sauce, meat sauce, traditional sauce, tomato sauce, whatever you want. If you get some focaccia bread, my wife makes a great batch of it. Get some marinara sauce with it. Dip that shit right on in there and let the sauce soak up the bread. And then you put it in your mouth. Let that thing just slide on to the back of your throat. Whether it's a pizza, whether it's a nice homemade pizza, whether it's the bullshit of the pineapple and the ham and all the other gimmicky toppings, whatever you want. I'm a traditional guy. Cheese pie is good with meat, but I like a pepperoni here and there. It's meat as well. But anyways, either that or if you make you a nice old lasagna. If you make the good old lasagna, get all the ricotta cheese, you get the meat, you get the layers, you get the pasta, you get all that good stuff, you get some rigatoni, you get some pen, you get just some bolognese sauce and make some spaghetti and meatballs, whatever you want. What you got to do is make your biggest, best sauce. Let the thing simmer all day Sunday. And then Sunday night at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 Central, all time zones in the world, there's too many of them, but whatever time zone you're in, you order Dynasty, you sit down in front of that television for 4 hours and you want some of the best damn wrestling on the planet. And that's AEW Dynasty. Watch it this Sunday as you're watching all the other sports things going on the weekend, but end your weekend on a great note by watching some of the best pure pro wrestling on the planet mixed in with some great entertainment. Dynasty is this Sunday. Enjoy the hell out of it. We know we will. And that's because we're going to enjoy it with a nice side of sauce. So my friends, this weekend and forevermore, stay saucy. Beyond the junkyard, echoes roar. Shattered dreams and bloodstains pour. Grit and glory all from war. Battle.
you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.